This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, here we go. 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning. It's called Christmas morning for a lot of football fans. It is NFL draft day. I know one guy to my right is super psyched up. One guy out in Long Island, wherever the hell he lives, is not because he loves this day. Should be here, but he's not because he got sick from the guy to my right. Possibly his daughter, not sure. One of the two, however. And so Greg Giannotti is out, so it's Boomer and Gio minus the G today. And so we will kind of help you along for the next 4 hours. But a lot to do with the NFL draft, a lot to do with the New York Yankees, the little engine that could. I don't even know who these guys are, and yet they win, and they win, and they win. Although the Angels bullpen did implode last night. And the Mets, but Robert Gesellman sucks. And the Mets did lose to the Phillies and wasted a chance to complete the sweep. Boomer Esiason, good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jerry. And, I feel bad that Gio's not here because, you know, we live for these days. And it is like Christmas morning for NFL football fans. It's going to be crazy down in Nashville. We still have really no answers as to what the Cardinals are doing. Everybody still thinks that they're going to go Kyler Murray, but we're not sure. And then, of course, out comes a report that the Giants are really all in now on Daniel Jones of Duke. We'll get into his background a little bit. At the end of the day, for me, for the Giants, just get a young quarterback, give your team and your franchise and your fan base something to look forward to, and at least say you're attacking one of your long-term issues. And I think they're probably going to go with Josh Allen if he's there. And hopefully, you know, maybe they get the second coming of Lawrence Taylor, although I wouldn't go that far. But this is an edge rusher. They need pressure from the outside. So it sounds like that's the way they're going to go as well. And it also sounds like the Redskins are going to end up with Dwayne Haskins. So
perhaps.
The Giants will get to see him twice a year now for the next, 10 to 12 years. So at least he'll be in the division so we can see him twice a year, up close and personal. Somebody that I'm still all in on. I think he's a terrific player, and I think he's going to make a really good pro. He may not make a pro for the Giants, but nonetheless, for the Giants, it is time for them to at least attempt to try to figure out what the future at quarterback is for them. The other thing that happened last night is another epic double overtime game in hockey. It was the Canes over the Capitals. That means the New York Islanders open Friday night at the Barclays Center. They have home ice advantage for this round against the Hurricanes, who capped just an incredible series against the Capitals. And one thing I've noticed in the NHL pretty quickly, Jerry, is that all the teams that got knocked out here in the first round are teams that have gone really deep into the playoffs in previous years. And much like when we talk about Magic Johnson and Tom Brady and players that, play just so many games in the postseason, what does that do? What is the effect on these teams? And last night, I don't think you watched it. I did. I watched the entire game. But the double overtime, the Canes were all over the Capitals. The Capitals had no energy. The Caps goalie Braden Holtby kept them into the game, and then of course Justin Williams hits his teammate right in front of the goal, and they get a tip in, and the celebration begins for the Hurricanes. So I think this is going to be a psychological advantage, at least initially, for the Islanders, because the Hurricanes really did accomplish something amazing by knocking off Ovechkin and the Capitals. But the Islanders now have been rested for 10 days. They are ready to rock and roll without Johnny Boychuk, one of their better defenders, and they need to take it to the Canes on Friday night and don't give them a chance to get into this game.
What concerns you, though, just from a sports standpoint, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you I watched any of the Hurricanes Capitals. I didn't, aside from a few minutes here or there. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you do worry about the team coming in with momentum against a team that's been idle for a week and a half.
I also see a team that is, just from a psychological standpoint, and I saw all the interviews after the game last night, watched some of the replay interviews tonight, this morning. I mean, they're exhausted.
I'm sure they are.
I'm sure they got into New York last night, probably 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, probably still high from winning and beating Ovechkin and the Capitals, the defending Stanley Cup champions, in their building, which was an amazing, amazing accomplishment. So you got to jump on them early. You got to be ready to rock and roll. The Barclays Center has got to be loud. It's got to be a home ice advantage.
It will be.
And I think the Islanders do have an advantage of sweeping the Penguins, and they'll have legs. They may be a little bit off timing wise, but that doesn't mean you should not have the energy in order to hopefully get off to a good start in their series. Yeah. Now, you were talking about the Yankees. Last night was Tyler Wade night.
Tyler Wade, 100%, it was his night.
DJ LeMahieu night.
Yeah.
Right,
but you know about Wade? He gets the two out single. Then you love this. We always talk for the last several years, home run or nothing. But this group
is
doing it
run.
In the different way. Right, the two out single, steal second, and you get the little nub shot to the right that just clears. I think it's LaStella at second base, goes into the outfield. Yankees up 6-5, and this is after they score a few runs with a couple of walks. You get a single, another walk. I can't find the plate. You know what? Give this team a lot of credit.
And this all comes on the heels of Clint Frazier being put on the IL.
Another guy.
Right. So he'll probably, I would think, he will be back for the home opener when they get back from this West Coast trip against the Twins.
Better hope so.
Next Friday night, a week from Friday. But I would just say that it's a really great story that's unfolding. It's fun to watch because I don't want to hear Yankee fans talking about, it's home runs or nothing, because last night was proof positive that it's not that. And Tyler Wade did it. I was wondering, come on, you got to steal second. Let's go.
He did.
And he did. And this is exactly the way you're supposed to play baseball. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming that he has the baseball IQ to understand to get on the first base and steal in the situation. This is the ninth inning. Let's just get the second. Let's get into scoring position. And let LeMahieu, one of the best pickups also by Brian Cashman once again. Remember when they signed him?
Yeah,
well,
I loved
what are we getting him for?
No. Not DJ LeMahieu.
No, everybody wanted Machado.
Yeah, but DJ LeMahieu in Colorado was a really good player.
No, he's a batting champion.
Yes.
I understand that. But I'm just saying everybody wanted Machado. What are we getting LeMahieu? What are we getting Tulowitzki for? Well, you know what? You got good, solid ball players. Now, Tulowitzki didn't make it. He's on the IL as well. But LeMahieu's a contact hitter, and he did exactly what you're supposed to do in the situation that they needed to get it done. And that was the top of the ninth inning last night. And it was perfect. It was absolutely the way that I think Aaron Boone has to manufacture runs in order for them to win under the current set of circumstances.
I'll tell you one thing that's – because I went back and watched the seventh inning this morning because that had to have been at midnight.
It was.
One underrated thing that I don't think will be written about or talked about would be the tag up. It sounds ridiculous, but the sac fly that gets the game even or got it to 5-4, whatever it was – you actually had both runners. The bases were loaded. You get the sac fly. You figure the play's going home. Well, the throw comes into third, and they both runners tag up and put themselves in scoring. So that probably made it 5-4 because then they score on the ground ball because they were at third base as opposed to just standing pat at first and second. That's good, smart baseball.
How about running on contact and sliding
absolutely.
And sliding
with the infield drawn in.
And sliding away from the tag.
No,
these are all like little fundamental things that when the big boys are in the lineup, we don't really see
right, think
this.
Think about this from last night. Here's how the Yankees win, and I'm not going to go through it, but just the names. Tyler Wade, Tauchman. Now, Ford struck out three times, but he also had a leadoff walk in the seventh inning that got things kick-started.
Mm-hmm.
Loaisiga gets in and out of trouble in one of the innings. I mean, if you look at what this team is right now, and now what's it? I guess it's 6 straight and 8 of 9 or 9 of 10, whatever.
9 of 11. I want to say 9 of 11.
It might be. Well, there was. I think it's 8
six
of 9,
straight,
but whatever.
No, six
straight.
6
in a row.
8 of 9, 9 of 11.
Perfect. They are now a game and a half behind Tampa for first place.
Yeah, but they're playing bad teams, but they're beating teams.
Beating them. And the Angels, while their pitching stinks, they have a pretty decent lineup. And oh, by the way, the best player on the planet, who it's really something. Mike Trout, after every season's completed, you look at the numbers, and he's either the MVP or he's a top candidate to be the MVP because he bats 300+. He hits a bunch of home runs, drives in a million runs, scores a million runs. His WAR is through the roof. But when we see him, you see nothing. Even last night, he's not doing too much. But the Yankees are winning games that they, I'm not even going to say should win with this lineup, but they are.
It's a Tanaka Thursday. It's time to sweep. Today is the absolute perfect time to go out there and sweep a four-game series on a West Coast road trip that most of the time is like pulling teeth. Right.
And keep in mind, they were down 5-0 last night. All right, we haven't even mentioned the fact that they were down 5-0. They come back and win. And any Yankee fan, I think, would have signed up for 3 out of 4 before this series. And here they are with a chance to take all 4.
So what the Yankees are doing right now and winning the way they're winning is kind of like, you know, the Islanders getting to the semifinals. It's like nobody thought it was going to happen. Nobody. Everybody thought the sky was falling. Everybody thought everything, the bottom was going to come out. That they needed to tread water, and I was saying it myself, just stay around 500, whatever.
Yeah, they've done better than that.
I didn't expect an elongated winning streak, though. This is crazy.
From 8-10 with this group of players, it's you're awesome, sitting there Jerry. Saying, who was I with last week? I guess it was Greg last week, yeah. And we're saying, just hover around 500, you'll be fine. And instead, they've soared past 500. One thing that's concerning, did you see the little blurb on Giancarlo Stanton?
Yes.
So it's weird just because you think he's coming, he's on the way back, and the little blurb is the bicep injury has completely healed, but he needed a shot for his shoulder.
But check this out. Right now, just don't come back.
Well,
you know, we're not gonna banish you like Jacoby Ellsbury, but just don't come back.
They're not
we're winning
do
right
that.
Now. Don't worry about it. We're all good.
Well, Gary Sanchez came back last night.
By the way, let's go to Anthony and Belville to kick us off this morning. Anthony and Belville, what's happening, my man?
Boomer and Recco, oh yeah.
Oh, what's up, man? What's happening, kid?
Hey, I just got to say that Jerry is the DJ LeMayu of the fan over there. He is killing it.
He's our tool, man. Whatever we need a tool, he's the guy that we go to.
He better get some scratch for that.
You know, get scratch. But don't you get scratch for taking the power chair over?
We're doing just fine.
No, you get scratch.
Attaboy,
no
Jerry.
Complaints.
No complaints. You see that, Anthony? That's the kind of guy that you want on your team. No complaints. He may be in a bad mood from time to time, maybe mad
I'm
at people from time to time.
I'm in the best mood of anybody here.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Hey, Boom.
Yeah.
He's a 5-tool player.
He is, man. I appreciate it, Anthony. You recognize that. That's
there
good.
You go. Multi-use tool.
Right. So, what was it? I'm trying to think how long ago it was for me, the draft. 34 years ago? 35
it's,
years ago?
Quite a while.
God, I'm getting old, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking about how much money these guys are signing
Izzo
for.
Izzo wanted me to do some message for your birthday, and I asked him how old you were. He told me 58. I almost dropped dead.
It's unbelievable, man.
58?
I may almost drop dead one of these days. You never know.
Let's not do that. I got my kids through college.
All right. So, but yeah, but look at you. You seamlessly go right into the power chair. It's just like, it's just somebody's
it's the
sick.
Chair next to you.
And it's almost like, do you think we take you for granted?
Yes. The Mets last night.
I figured.
Just quickly, while we have a minute, because they had a chance to sweep the Phillies. And Vargas wasn't
bad. He was
bad.
Okay. He was fine.
He was fine. I'm not going to say he was great, but he was fine. Did you watch? I know you were watching the hockey.
No, I was watching. I watch all of it.
Robert Gsellman.
He's the Chad. You know he's great. Like the Chad Green of the Mets right now.
And here's what's great. Well, yes and no. You know, he comes into the game and they're talking about what a great job he did the last time out.
The last time out, but what about the time before
hideous.
That, the time before that, the time before that?
Oh, he was horrible.
I think they thought the last time out was going to like get him straightened out. And again, you know, you talk to these guys and Robert's been a good player for the Mets. He's just laying the ball right over the plate.
He's given up hits to Phil Gosselin and Roman Quinn, who had a great drag bunt. I'm not going to say he didn't. But, I mean, come on. Now, it's a 1-0 game. Into the eighth inning, you've got a legit chance. They also had an opportunity earlier in the game with second and third and one out and Wilson Ramos up. And you felt really good about them tying the game. And Ramos just goes after bad pitches and strikes out. It wasn't there. And then you get Rhys Hoskins, or as Al likes to call him, Rice Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins triples.
Why is Al calling him Rice Hoskins? Why? Because the way he spells his name? It's Rhys.
Al, would you like to answer?
Rhys.
It's Rhys, not
That's
Rice.
That's what I thought.
No, that's not what you thought. You called him Rice Hoskins.
Oh, right, early on. But now I know. Rice. Rhys.
Now he knows. So
Rhys Hoskins.
What?
Rhys Hoskins.
So he hits the home run, and he takes whatever it was, 35 seconds to get around the bases. I told Al, I would have just flat out walked. Like, why even bother jogging? Just walk and stare at Jacob Rame.
Next time you come up,
No. They threw Rame through twice at him.
I know he did throw it at him again. Who says you can't do that?
Now we're good. Nah, now it's even.
Wait a minute. No, who are you to tell me that it's even?
It's even.
I will determine.
Because here's why. I think Rame and the Mets were out of line, and I don't mind that stuff.
Well, Rame and the Mets don't believe they were out of line.
I don't mind that stuff. No, you throw at him once, that's fine. You don't throw at him the second time.
I'll
right
throw at him again.
Head.
You know, you keep
not
doing this nonsense.
Throw it mid-body. You know, you don't throw at the head.
He's another one. It's got that whole Philly thing going and all that other crap.
I'm good with that. That's fine.
You're fine.
But now he...
Are you from Philly or what?
No, I'm fine with what you just said.
Hell.
I agree with you.
Hey, look.
But you hit the home run. It's over.
Either you do it the right way or you do it the
wrong
way.
What did he just say?
What?
What did you just say?
I called him a jerk.
You can't say that.
Oh, well, right. He did.
Are you all right this morning?
Oh, man, I'm fired up, man. I got no sleep. That's two nights in a row, no sleep. I'm ready to roll, baby.
I see that. I feel like you've been up all night drinking tequila again.
No, I was not. No,
like believe you're me. Flying this, back this, the from whole, the Super Bowl?
No, the whole stomach.
All right, what's
thing?
The situation with Giannotti? How long is he going to be out?
Oh,
now?
Man, I don't know how bad he has it. I had it literally from Saturday afternoon, probably around 3 to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I didn't feel remotely close to normal until Monday late afternoon. So that was like 48 hours.
Ugh.
And then, you know, when I came in on Tuesday, I still was probably about
80%. You didn't look great.
No. Well, I mean, come on, Jerry.
What? You didn't. You still look sick. And Al said, I'm going to kick his ass if I get sick from him.
I was not carried. You wouldn't have gotten sick from me. I didn't touch you. I didn't hold you. I didn't kiss you. How are you going to get sick from me?
I know. That's what we always fight about. You don't hold me, touch me, or kiss me anymore.
Selfish.
Anyway, the NFL draft, right? I mean, yes. This is where memories are made. But I always tell all these players, it's not about today.
Dwayne Haskins goes to Washington and is horrendous. That's a perfect organization for him. They're dysfunctional.
I know, unfortunately. Yes, I know.
Well, unfortunately for him. Fortunate for us, possibly.
Well, you know, I do like Jay Gruden. I do like him.
I know
like him
do.
As a coach, and I like him as an offensive coordinator. And I just like Dwayne Haskins and most of these quarterbacks. Drew Lock has said it the same thing. It's not where I go. I just got to go to the – when I go is where I go. I got to go to the right place that's going to get the best out of me. And hopefully you have synergy with the coach that takes you. Now, this Daniel Jones kid – you know, I'm not going to shoot this down. I'm not going to kill the kid. This is a dream day for him. If he's lucky enough to be selected by the Giants, if it isn't the first round, you know, that's an honor. It's one of 32 teams, and I don't care who drafts the player. I don't care, you know, if it's Ed Oliver for the Jets. I'm not going to kill the pick. You know, the Jet fan may kill the pick. I'm not going to do that because I know exactly what these kids are dealing with today.
Let me ask you this. We like to play the game buzz or no buzz.
Yes.
The Giant fan wants a new quarterback for sure. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
Yes.
You end up with Daniel Jones. He played at Duke.
True.
Nobody has seen him play.
Is it Dave Brown? No, we've seen him play.
But here's not much.
Also have to understand why this makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense because of David Cutcliffe, who was his coach, who is the guru to Peyton Manning. That's why he has a lot of the same mannerisms.
My question is, tomorrow morning, if Daniel Jones is a Giant, is the Giant fan excited?
Because if
they took Dwayne Haskins, I do think the Giant fan is pumped up tomorrow.
So do I.
And so would you be. That's fine. They go take Daniel Jones, who might end up being the better quarterback in the future. Who knows?
This is what I would consider. If the Giants end up with Daniel, this is what I would consider your typical New York Giant, very safe and conservative pick. We're going to be safe.
With a high upside, though, no?
Yeah, I think the kid is very bright. You saw his Wunderlich score. It's very bright. I think there is an athletic component to him that Dwayne Haskins doesn't have. He moves well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little gangly. He's a little awkward. He's a little tall and skinny, but so was I. So was Peyton. So was Tom Brady. So was all the guys that come out pretty much are like that. But he probably is a kid that's really dedicated to his craft. He's probably impressed in all of his meetings. And he's a safe, conservative pick. He's not if the Giants took Kyler Murray, if he fell to number 6, could you imagine the buzz in New York City?
Yeah, well, that's my point.
I think there are two buzz quarterbacks. That would be Haskins and Murray, and I don't think the Giants are going to do either one of them. It doesn't sound like it, but that doesn't mean that they can't still attempt to try to find Eli's successor. And if it is Daniel Jones, and good for Daniel Jones because he's familiar with the whole kind of Manning thing, and I'm sure that Eli would be happy to, you know, to help the kid. And you know, Eli's helped every kid that's been there. You know, they always ask him, are you going to help mentor this kid? You know, that's not his number one job. His number one job is to be the number one quarterback of the Giants. The way you help mentor the kid is that you answer questions. You show him how to be a pro. You show him how to prepare. You show him how to act during the games. And I'm sure whoever comes here is going to be lucky enough to sit behind Eli, much like Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith in Kansas City with the Kansas City model.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.